Welcome to another episode of the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
I'm Robert Trawick.
Wow, how'd you like that? All right. That we are here during the coronavirus, of course, still. We're going to do this episode live on Facebook as well as on Zoom. Only we are the only three on Zoom. So, look at that. We're awesome. So welcome, Robert and Miranda. Miranda Hodge.
Miranda.
And she's in Oklahoma City, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I looked at your stuff and, man, that's good. Good stuff. Very nice. Very rich. Very high quality. So
rich. You know why it's high quality? Because shooting with a Fuji.
It's true.
Hey, that's awesome. That's good to know. So, Robert, go ahead. Whatever you have to say.
Oh, look, now she's showing off her gear. I love that.
Ooh.
So sexy.
Ooh, I like the Godox. Oh, that's not the Godox trigger, is it?
No, it is. No. It is the Godox trigger. Good eye.
Yeah.
Good
hey,
eye.
I'm a Godox guy, man. I love the Godox stuff.
Yes, so do I. God.
What'd you say, Robert?
Just up there. There it is, right there. Hang on, I'll just stand up. I'm not wearing any pants, so I can't stand.
Oh, God. Yeah, he wants to show off his shirt.
Well, it's social, distancing?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, in my house, if I wear no pants, it's very socially distancing. Okay, well, good. So let's start off. The topic this month is education. We have Miranda Hodge, which is the bevographer. Did I say that right?
Yeah, okay. Bevographer.
Mm-hmm. Bevographer. I think I actually started following you before I knew that you shot cocktails. And I saw the name. And the logo, it was, you know, like red circle with a little B in it. And I thought, ooh, that's a nice logo. I'm going to follow her. And then I looked at the Instagram feed. I thought, oh, well, she's kind of cute too. And then I thought, holy crap, she shoots liquor. I really love this girl. So, you know, you're in a very niche market shooting food and beverage. So can you tell us how that kind of got started?
Well, I'm in marketing, so I'm really glad you noticed the logo. So I started off. It's really funny. When the recession hit in 2008, which is so funny because now we're in another recession, I don't know, but in 2008, 2009, I graduated from college. And so I couldn't do anything with my degree because I couldn't find a job. So I started to waitress and bartend, and I was a barista. So I just went into the service industry because that was just natural, like something that I could do easily, and fell in love with it. And then moved into marketing because there's just a point in the restaurant, like when you're working in a restaurant, where you just can't go any further. Like you can be a manager, but I didn't really want to be a restaurant manager or a general manager. So I went into marketing because my husband suggested it to me. He's a really smart guy. I love him. He's my number one hype man. And so he suggested that I go into marketing, fell in love with that, and then just kind of merged like my love of photography and marketing with my love of the service industry. So that's really kind of how it started.
Okay. So let's back this up. Let's make it simple. So you went and got a degree in marketing.
No, I got a degree in cross-cultural studies.
Oh, you had
it. A degree in what? Sorry.
What degree in what?
It's cross-cultural studies. So it's like studying different cultures and like humanities and economics and how they all kind of work together. So like how different cultures react to different types of scenarios, really. So
wow.
It's super fascinating. It's like anthropology.
That sounds very fascinating, but you couldn't find a job in that. So you went into marketing.
Yeah. So I went into the service industry and then marketing.
And then in marketing. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is what you know, since you are already uniquely qualified to shoot food and beverage because you've been involved in that.
Yeah. So I was doing social media marketing for most of the coffee shops and restaurants I was working in. So because I was doing social media, I was already doing their photography, and I had done wedding photography in the past. But I have to give, oh my gosh, anyone who is a wedding photographer, I salute you, man. You are, you have to deal with so much and I just can't do that. So I'd much rather take a picture of a beverage than have to deal with like making sure that Aunt Jo is in the picture and like knowing who Aunt Jo is and dealing with like some of the drama that happens. Like we all know that weddings have drama. So,
oh God, lots of drama.
Oh yeah. That's why I don't shoot them. I'll second shoot any day, but I won't shoot them lead. I mean, I have like many times and I have in the last year, but not like the big ones.
Well, you know, you brought up a good point. And so now I want to know, because I've shot some food and drink as well. Beer. Uh-huh. Beer. The Bricktown Brewery. I did a lot of the shots for the Bricktown Brewery.
Oh, those are great shots. I saw those.
Well, but these are the old ones. They're like from several years ago. But if you walk in and see the big posters of the... Mm-hmm. And they made me do the spot color, by the way. I'm just FYI. They twisted my hand and they said, this is what we want. So, you know, I had to do that. But so in the beverage department, when you shoot, so what is the biggest struggles that you have in that area? I mean, you're not having to deal with, you know, Aunt Mary in the photo, but do you have problems with like, I don't know, an arrogant bartender that knows better? I don't know. What kind of problems do you come up with?
You know, gosh, I think the biggest problem was figuring out the light situation. So how to pack, because a lot of the times when I'm going to different bars and restaurants, because I know so many people in the service industry and because I've been in it, like, I feel like we can have a conversation and I can be like, yo, I know where you're coming from. Like, she's like doing brunch is kind of a bitch. Sorry. I don't know.
It's okay.
Okay, good.
Okay, you're good. You're golden. We tried to drop too many F-bombs, but, you know, you're good.
Okay, good. And so, like, I'm able to, like, have those conversations. But getting light in, like, a lot of bars are super dark. And so you have to bring in external lights. And so that was kind of, like, the biggest struggle is figuring out, like, hey, how can I pack a super light bag where I can go and do, because a lot of the times I'm doing like 4 or 5 shoots just in a row. Like I just fill up an entire day of just going from bar to bar to bar to restaurant to bar, you know, and just shooting. And so I needed something that I could pack into one backpack. So figuring out the light situation was probably the most complicated. So that's the reason why I love Godox, and I'll kind of rep them. And that was part of the reason why I switched from Canon to Fujifilm, was because my Canon camera was so massive. And so when I rented a Fujifilm camera and just being able, there's a shoot that I did with Goro, and I was able to actually get in into where they're cooking the food in front of you. Have you guys been to Goro? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes. Okay, I haven't been back to the kitchen, but I definitely love the ramen. It's amazing.
So I was able to like get into those tight spaces. And then the same thing with Gun, I was able to get in with Gun Izakaya and just like really see how they're grilling the chicken, and get a super tight shot. And with my Canon, I wouldn't have been able to do that because it's just so, it's a big camera and like the lights and everything to get that the way that I needed it to be. So that was kind of like the big decision for me, was being able to shoot for those restaurants and seeing, hey, I can get into these tight spaces and I can take incredible photography with it. And I'd much rather do that than have to like lug around a Canon just because I'm like, I don't know, brand recognition or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely. We all switched to Fuji for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And one of those for me is traveling and shooting weddings after a long day of carrying all that gear around, my back would kill me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Fuji is, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying that, you know, the lighter weight, and it's so much, for me, it has been more of a tactile experience with all the bells and whistles on the outside. Mm-hmm. So I really do love it. So I completely understand taking that smaller format camera and getting into some tighter places very easily. Mm-hmm. Wow. I had a great dinner tonight. I got a little gas, so forgive me on that. Okay. So Terry, so really kind of interesting is tonight she tried something different. She marinated the chicken breast in balsamic vinegar for 30 minutes before she cooked it. and it was completely tender all the way through. And then, of course, I had some broiled squash with some tomatoes, you know, just some vegetable melody, and some couscous.
Couscous. Well, I was just going to say earlier that I switched for the weight.
It's a real food, okay?
Never mind.
No, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Jim. Oh, no. I'm just sitting here looking at the comments. No, you go. You guys just go right ahead. Talk amongst yourselves.
You talk. I'll watch the comments.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. So, yeah, I switched from two 750s, D750 Nikon to Fuji because of the weight, you know, because I do a lot of events, and wow, it's like night and day.
So, okay. I took care of that humming.
Oh, good.
I did. That's nice. I put it on top of my agendas. That's a lot cleaner, isn't it? Okay. Sorry. It's all about technical stuff. So I'm fascinated by this. I mean, to me, when I did the food and beverage stuff, I work with a studio called 616 Studios. Chad Lunsford manages all the social media, builds the websites, that kind of stuff. And I would just be the image capture guy. And I have to say, I'm not sure if you've tried this trick before or not, because trying to get light through a liquid is a serious pain in the neck. So one of the tricks that we used, and I want to hear your tricks, but one of the tricks we used was liquid paper. You ever used liquid paper?
I've not.
Oh my God. Okay. So you take the glass that you're going to pour it in, or the bottle, and the backside that you cannot see, you paint it with liquid paper. So that way you have a white area that's going to reflect the light that you put into it.
That's so smart. Wow. So, usually when I'm shooting, I'm positioning the lights behind the beverage so that it's shining the light through the beverage.
Do you use a snoot?
I do not use a snoot. I use, I should, I don't know.
I was thinking it'd be a narrower beam hitting the glass rather than spreading, unless you want it to spread.
Yeah, so sometimes I do want it to spread because a lot of my photography is like action shots. So when I am doing like I'm taking pictures of bartenders making drinks, and that's become my bread and butter, if that makes sense. And so a lot of the times I do want to have a little bit more light so that I can actually capture the bartender making the drink. So I'll have like two or three lights. And one is usually behind the beverage so it can light from behind, and the other one is positioned in front so that we can get, the bartender actually making the drinks.
Oh, that is totally awesome. Looks like Dwayne has chimed in and he's like another Fuji person.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just, you know, it is that way. We're Fuji centric, so get over it.
My son likes your beer, DNR.
Oh yeah, DNR is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
represent awesome. Local.
So during this downtime, well, okay, before we go on to that, I guess it doesn't. We shouldn't need to talk about your education in this area because you already worked in this industry, so you're already uniquely aware of. I guess the imagery that can carry the story of whatever you're trying to have. So you already have that education. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else? I mean, in your field, because it's a very unique field. I mean, you know, most people do weddings, portraits, babies, that kind of stuff. You don't meet a lot of photographers that sit there and say, hey, I just shoot bench. And I mean, I think that's pretty unique. Mm-hmm. How do you go about getting extra education? Is this all self-taught? I mean, it seemed like there's not, like, I haven't seen anything at WPPI or Imaging or Photocom that says, learn to shoot beverages in an hour. It's not going to happen.
No, I mean, a lot of it is self-taught. So, like, for instance, one of the images I really wanted to try and capture last year was being able to get an orange expression. So when you are...
an orange expression? Like, do they smile or...
Yeah. The orange is smiling off to the side, and it's really hard to capture because most oranges you don't know can smile.
Exactly. I've seen an orange's navel.
Fantastic. Oh, dad joke. Thank you for that. But no, so like an orange expression is when you are taking like an orange peel, so you'll just like take off an orange peel and then you just squeeze it over your, like, typically an old fashioned is what.
Oh, so like the spray when you squeeze.
So it's the citrus oil that comes out when you're doing the orange peel.
Mm-hmm. That seems hard.
It's super hard. So I spent, I probably spent hours just trying to figure out how to get that and doing the right lighting for it.
Right.
And so I finally mastered it and submitted it to the Bedford Quarterly Contest. So that was kind of my first entry into the Oklahoma City like photography world, where I kind of like said, okay, I'm here. Hi, everyone.
Wait a minute. If you're going to bring that up, not that I don't have any background on you already, but like, how did you wind up in Oklahoma City area?
Oh gosh. Okay. Short story or the long story?
You know, if the husband's nearby, you can bring him in. Oh, look at that smile. See the sparkle in her eye? She's still in love. How nice.
I already know, like, some of the background. So I'm originally from Texas, and a lot of people give me shit about that here. I'm a contributing photographer for 4 or 5 magazine. And so I usually shoot with Greg Corden doing the food part, and he always gives me heck about being from Texas. And so I was back in the day in Instagram. They used to do like Insta Meets is what they called them. So a lot of people don't know what that means, but essentially like a bunch of people would say, hey, we're going to meet at this specific place, and then we're going to go and take pictures and post them on Instagram. So this was before Instagram Live, even like direct messaging on Instagram. It was just, you would just take pictures and then post them later. And so it's just like a thing that you did. So some of my friends in Dallas, to be honest, they had a crush on one of the like Insta famous girls, Laura. And my husband, Chris, was friends with Laura because they worked together. And so he wasn't going to go on this Insta meet. And then Laura convinced him to go. So thank you, Laura, always. And so he went, and then I saw a picture of him, and I said, well, that guy's cute. So I started following him on Instagram, and then he started following me, and then they introduced Instagram direct messaging. So we started talking to each other, and then we shared phone numbers, and then he came to visit me, and then we got married. So then he moved down to Dallas, and then I said, hey, we just got married. I know we're like in this like 3 months, but do you want to maybe move to Montana? So we moved to Montana. And then I said,
he loved you a lot to go to Montana.
Oh, have you ever been to Montana?
Yes, I have.
Where?
Cut Bank, Montana, outside of Bossier City. Yeah. Worked a ranch because I was following a young lady. Yes, I cowboyed up for 2 months and quickly said, this is not the life for me.
I lived in Bozeman, which is outside of Yellowstone, so it's absolutely gorgeous.
It is beautiful.
Mountains, 360 mountains all around, just pristine country. We love it. I would move back in a heartbeat if I could afford it. And then I said, hey, let's move to Seattle. And so we moved to Seattle, and that was really great. We met some amazing people, but it was also really expensive. And then my sister got engaged and his sister got engaged. So then we were like, oh gosh, everyone's getting married. Babies are going to happen. We're missing all these big family events. So we decided to move to Oklahoma City because it was halfway in between his family in Tulsa and my family in Amarillo. So neither one of us lived in Oklahoma City before. So this was like a new experience for both of us, and we loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. So how long have you been in Oklahoma City now? How long?
2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you just show up on my radar just like a month ago? What did you do?
So first I went to work at the Oklahoman and networking company, Big Wing. Yeah. And then a lot of people got laid off. I was one of those people. And so then I just kind of like bounced around for a little bit, and I started doing The beverage photography, came up with Bevographer and really started to pursue it in June of last year. So I'm just like I haven't even been in doing cocktail photography for, I haven't even had a year yet. So.
Oh, that's awesome. So that was.
Yeah. Yes. Robert.
Yes.
You know how hard it is for an old man to manage all these input devices right now?
I know what happened. I sent him a text.
He sent me a text and he said, oh my God, her smile is infatuating.
I did not say that. I said, turn down your headphones.
Is my headphones too loud?
I don't know. I turned mine down because I could hear her echo.
No.
We don't edit, so welcome. Welcome to the live show.
Okay. All right. So I was going to say that it's been my experience so far when you're in a new area, it takes 6 to 8 months before you show up on people's radar. So that's perfect. So whatever you're doing, it's definitely working because, well, I know everybody, so you showed up on my radar and I'm happy. And I've already tagged the post with Deborah, which is my food stylist, she is amazing. You two need to meet.
I need a food stylist. Like, I have that conversation all the time because people are like, do you do food styling? I'm like, I mean, that's a totally different field. So no, but.
Oh yeah. That's kind of like, that's kind of like, hiring the plumber because you don't want to do the plumbing because you're not good at the plumbing. You hire the professional. So same thing, you delegate some of that work that you're not necessarily good at, like an accountant, food stylist, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I can do my own home budget, but that doesn't mean that I can do budgeting for an entire corporation. So, I mean, it's just, when people ask me if I do food styling, I just kind of sigh and I say, no, please don't ask me to do that. I'm okay with it. But I feel like a lot of the times with food photographers right now, we're kind of expected. But I feel like that's a lot of jobs right now where you're expected to like be able to be a jack of all trades. And sometimes you just kind of have to say no. Like, listen, if you want really good like food styling, I can, set things down on a plate and make it look okay, but it's not going to be the same level as somebody who does this professionally. So if you want a professional food stylist, like, let's have that conversation and we can get food styling going for you. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I tagged Deborah Odom, which is my food stylist. I worked with her on a couple of projects and we did some personal projects as well, just to have some portfolio material. You will love her. I'll get you guys hooked up and it'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's talk more about the education. I'm sitting here. I'm just a little bit in awe. Okay. So let me explain to you why I'm in awe. Besides your great personality and you switched to Fuji, which makes you honestly super attractive because I shot Nikon. I was okay. But once I switched to Fuji, I just got really hot. it's all about having fun. And my microphone, my thing is so high up here. I'm having to like lift my chin. I guess that is a good angle though, like that. Okay. So if a new photographer wanted to get into beverage and food like you're doing right now, it really seems like a very limited market. I mean, it seems like magazines and I guess maybe the drink manufacturer or distillers, but I don't see a large amount of people calling you to shoot drinks. So market-wise and business-wise, how are you going to make this, profit business?
Yeah, so that's kind of the tricky part right now, especially because of all of the restaurants and bars being shut down. So what I had just started before all of this happened is I started doing a quarterly subscription where bars and restaurants could – basically, if they paid for my services up front for a year, I would come out every single quarter and do a whole photo shoot for them for their new menu, whether that's their bar menu or their food menu. If they had an event, they can use me for that. Essentially, they would be able to have me every quarter to go and do a photo shoot. And so I had just introduced that as a way to, A, make it a little bit more affordable to local bars and restaurants, but also like be able to have a little bit more revenue for myself. So right now there's not a whole lot of work for me. I'm actually kind of out of a job, like most photographers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm completely dead. I have nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the photo shoots that I had have been canceled or rescheduled. So
really? We'll
see what happens. But yeah, just, I think being a photographer right now is just hard overall. And being a photographer that relies on the bar and restaurant industry is even harder, honestly.
Yeah, it's definitely hard and it's affecting everybody. So it's not just us locally where we could pivot to a different market and go to Amarillo. I mean, it's affecting the entire world. Yeah. It's really driving us crazy. So, you know, I'm kind of curious though, in this downtime, what are you doing to stay busy? I mean, are you creating like stock images, redoing your website? I mean, I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. So, from my previous marketing experience, I used to be a director of web. So I'm kind of a techie as well. So, I do SEO and website redesigns and things like that. So I'm keeping myself busy with those things. Especially because a lot of people need to all of a sudden upload menus to their website, so that they can do takeout and to go. So trying to get people onto e-commerce, which is something I've been kind of pushing restaurants and bars to do, but they haven't been doing. So it's really funny to, I mean, it's not funny. It's funny, ironic, I guess, that, that now all of a sudden everyone is needing to do what I've been kind of preaching that people need to do. And then on top of that, this is the more exciting thing. I've been doing a cocktail every single day on Instagram. So every day I do a brand new cocktail. Probably the one that was most exciting for me was, I went and picked dandelions out in my yard. So, you know, those weeds that everyone just pulls up.
Yes.
I made honey out of it and used that in a cocktail.
Hang on a second. You took dandelions that are a weed, the ones that I'm trying to kill every single day in my yard. And you made a honey out of it. Okay. Please explain. How do you make honey out of dandelions? This is going to be a first ever.
Yeah.
So make honey.
So it's essentially like a infusion steeping process that you do. So, and the end product, and I can go get it if you guys want to see, but it ends up looking like honey. So it's like a syrup, almost, I guess. So essentially what you're doing is you're taking the dandelions and you're just using the petals. And you are boiling them with water to infuse them. And the boiling process also like gets rid of any contaminants. So real quick, I should say this before we move any further. Do not use dandelions that have been chemically treated because you can make yourself really sick off of that. So do this before you have done any sort of chemical treatment on your lawn. Do not do this in parks. Do not pick dandelions from the roadsides. Just like from places that you know have not been chemically treated. Very important.
Oh my God. After the coronavirus, there'll be 200 Oklahomans sick with the dandelion honey fever. Oh my God. You know, Jim's from Oklahoma. You and I are not. So we get to pick on those people all the time.
Yeah. So. But then, yeah, so you boil the dandelion petals and then you essentially make a simple syrup out of it and boil it down until it resembles the texture of honey. So it's a good vegan alternative. I know that's super popular right now, because honey is not vegan, but dandelion honey is vegan.
Wait a minute. Wait. Honey is not vegan?
No, because it's a byproduct from bees.
Well, I'm shocked. I mean, I'm not vegan by any means at all, but I do have vegan friends and I never have heard that. So they can't have honey.
I think, yeah. So no.
Well, because you have vegetarians and you have vegans. So I guess there's different levels of it as well.
Yeah. So vegetarians can have honey. like they can have eggs and like milk and stuff like that. Vegans can't do milk. They can't do eggs. They can't do honey. Anything that's like an animal byproduct as well.
Yes. And you know, vegans can't shoot film.
Wait, what?
Did you not know that?
I did not know this.
Yeah. Vegans, if you're a true vegan, you cannot shoot film because the film emulsion is made with animal fat. Yeah, people don't know that, but I'm so old, I remember making that back in the day when we made our own plates. Not, but yeah, it's made from jello. It's a gelatin. It's made from animal fat, bone fat.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know that. I mean, I knew that was from gelatin, but it just didn't click in my head that that was animal.
Yeah, yeah, it comes from the animal. So, you know, whenever people say, oh, I'm a vegan, I'm like, oh, you shoot film? Like, oh, I love film. I'm like, oh, well, that's made from animal products, so. Stop it.
You're not true. You lie.
So there's lie. The comments, they're checking out your Instagram. They're like saying, I get it.
Yeah, Abraham got on here. He's our favorite cricket. And he says, it's incredible photographs.
It's what?
Incredible photographs. He's looking at your story on Instagram.
Thank you.
So it's totally, you know, I think that we need to have some activities for this coronavirus stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like the activity you're doing right now, as a matter of fact. And I wish I would have poured myself something for us. But because I'm awful jealous, we're not sharing a beer together.
Jim and I can keep talking while you go grab a beer. That's fine.
He's not allowed to drink beer.
No. I'm not supposed to drink beer. It's two different things. Can I, what I, should I? I only have one kidney.
Sorry,
in my kidney.
I mess up?
What? No. You're good. Jim brings beer over. He takes it with him. He never leaves it for me.
That's right.
Wife says, don't do that. He can't drink beer. I shouldn't drink beer. That's what it is. But I do. Actually, it's really funny. We did a Zoom the other day with some fashion photographers. And it was past 12 o'clock, by the way. I want to point that out. And I was the only one out of 100 photographers drinking. I was day drinking with Bailey's. And it lasted so long, I was out of coffee, so I just kept pouring the Bailey's back in there. And when I got done, I was pretty screwed up. I'm not going to lie. The rest of the day was naps. So we have a lot of people on here right now following us on this Facebook Live. I think it'd be great in this time of crisis because you have a great personality and a very, very outgoing spirit. I would love for you to make a 5-day food and drink challenge, and we could put it on the PhotoFacts podcast or on your page. We'll direct them your way. Mm-hmm. And then that could be kind of fun. You could like judge the best orange expression. That could be something that would be really kind of cool.
Yeah, so, I would love that.
So think about that, because if you do that, let us know, and we will share that on all of our social media and get you a little bit of attention that way. Yeah. So along those lines, let's see how we're doing on time. Oh, we're at 36 minutes. Holy crap. We still got plenty of time. So along those lines, I'm curious, as a food and drink photographer, so tell us about some of the things that are in your bag that may not be photography related. Oh, you know, stuff that you would use for your job. Because like, you know, when I go and I do food, I'll bring some chopsticks. I have a brulee torch, which is awesome for melting cheese.
Yeah, brulee torches are great. I bring olive oil. Like, I have a little dropper of olive oil. And that really helps. Like, for instance, I use that on buns a lot, like when you're shooting burgers, because that makes the bun a little bit shinier, so it makes it look fresh. I do that on fried chicken a lot. It kind of depends, because a lot of the times when I'm shooting, like, for instance, with 4 or 5 magazine, I can't really manipulate the food that much. Because Greg has to taste it so he can write about it. So it's like a really like interesting balance where I'm like, okay, I really want to make this look prettier, but I also can't because he needs to taste it. But he can't taste it until I take a picture of it. So it's a balance. So
okay, so I'll tell you the trick that we have when I shoot it. Nobody touches the back side of the hamburger. We style everything on the front, and you're not allowed to touch the back, because once we're done, once that one's finished, we cut that burger in half, and then we split the half burger because we didn't touch it.
Yeah. That's super smart for burgers, for sure.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I want to manipulate it a little bit more, especially like We just did a fried chicken and waffles shoot. And so that one was fantastic. But I also got like a really great like pour shot of Greg pouring syrup on the chicken and waffles. And that was fantastic. So,
you know, so I got a question. Since you do the, since you do all the beverages, like I've used adding salt to beer to get a better head. Mm-hmm. Is there something better than that? Because, you know, it really, it kills the beer pretty quick. I mean, you only have like 10 seconds to get the shot and then it just really completely dies bad. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you, if you put too much, you get like a salt powder on top of the foam that doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really what I'm doing, I'm not doing a whole lot of like food and beverage tricks. So like, I know about the salt in the beer. So sometimes I'll do that with like a Corona, like what's meant to have salt on it. But like one, like the DNR that I'm drinking right now, I would typically just like stir it and then take a picture. So if you just like stir it, that will create that head effect that will kind of like get it going again.
Right.
And then you can still take a picture. So things like that I'll do. But a lot of the times I'm not doing beer. It's kind of tough because a lot of the times when I'm doing photography, I'm doing more action shots. So it's really just, you know, as the bartender is making drinks, or I'm doing like a splash shot, or I'm doing an expression shot, those types of things. So what I'm doing is a little bit different than, you know, just having like a single beer that's sitting there and you're taking pictures of that one beer. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah. Oh, no, it makes a lot of sense because most of the time we're locked on a tripod, we're hooked up to the computer, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, move that lettuce piece a little bit to the left. I don't like the way that, you know, French fry in the background's pointing straight up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a shot for us could literally take, you know, 20 minutes or less, and by that time the food is, yeah. Doesn't yeah. look all that good anyway. Yeah, so your stuff is a lot more action.
Yeah. So my stuff is way more action. I'm doing it like most of my photo shoots, like especially with 4 or 5, a lot of the times, like the actual shooting part is probably about 30 minutes total. And that's like them preparing the drink and then serving it. And then me taking a couple of shots outside of that.
Oh, that's sweet. So that DNR, is that a beer?
Yeah. So it's, I don't know if you guys can see.
Oh, it's from Coop.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I was just going to tag him on the
yeah,
list
tag here. Him. I love him.
Coop Brewery, isn't it?
Yep. I think it's Coop L Works.
Coop L
Works. I've never tasted it.
What?
Nope. I don't know why I have an echo. That's why I'm not talking much.
No, you can talk. It's not.
No,
it's not.
Do I have an echo still? I still hear myself. I've thought about everything. I don't know how to get rid of it.
I don't know. I don't know, but you sound good to me.
You sound great
Thank
to
you.
Me.
All right.
Sound fantastic. Okay, I can't find L Works. Huh. Okay, maybe somebody else can pop it in there then. Let's see. Okay, so Dwayne wants to know, when you pour the syrup, do you use syrup or motor oil?
Oh gosh. Because we're eating it, I use syrup. I don't know. So a lot of the food tricks I found, like for instance, like, okay, the only one that I actually legitimately use is I will do like a powdered sugar and lard mixture for ice cream.
Oh, Coop.
So that's the only one that, like, that's probably, like, out of all the food styling tricks that I've, like, looked up on the internet and tried, that one's the only one that has, like, legitimately worked for me. And I used that for a national ice cream cone brand. And, like, and I mixed in actual, like, freeze-dried strawberries, and it made it look like real, like, ice cream, like strawberry ice cream. So that's probably, like, the only one that I've used. But ice cream, I think, is one of the few things where, like, okay, you legitimately need to, like, have it last a lot longer than what you would normal, like, other products.
Well, I'm looking at your Instagram, which I've looked before, but I'm trying to find that. Is that on your Instagram page?
No. That was one that I did specifically for the brand. And I only post beverages on my Instagram page. So you won't ever see food on it.
Oh, that's funny. Now,
so if you want to see my food pictures, pick up a 4 or 5 magazine. That's usually
okay. 4 or 5 magazine for the food photos. Perfect. Uh-huh. You know, if you're a beverage photographer, it seems like as a marketing person, you can come up with some pretty awesome t-shirts. I drink a lot. I'm a photographer. You know, if you're a beverage photographer, it seems like as a marketing person, you can come up with some pretty awesome t-shirts.
Be a t-shirt that I would probably buy and wear just for fun.
I'm just like thinking of t-shirt ideas in my mind. So maybe I need to start doing one. I don't know.
I think that'd be great.
Usually I do drinkware, you know, to be on brand. So,
very nice.
Like Highball whiskeys. Hi.
What?
Oh, you have wine. Wait a minute.
Hang on a second. What?
Other way.
Oh, other way. Oh.
Cheers.
Hey, no fair. Hey. Hey. Somebody to bring me a whiskey.
Cha-ching! Oh, Cabernet Sauvignon, 1983 out of a box. It's so good. Oh.
I'll drink my water.
Well, go ahead, Jim. You can say something. Go ahead and talk wine.
Well, I shut down Facebook.
This is kind of fun. We need to have her more often. This needs to be like the Photo Facts Podcast Drinking Monday show.
Yeah. I shut down my Facebook so I wouldn't echo. I think that was the issue.
Oh.
Maybe, no, it's not. I hear it now still. Oh, okay.
It's okay. You're good.
Yeah, I haven't shot a whole lot of food or drinks. I mean, I've shot some, but not a whole lot. But I just think it's awesome that you found this niche, that you're doing that. Because they always say, find your niche, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that it?
That's it. That's all. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're doing fantastic, Jim. Okay, so we talked about equipment. We talked about education. We talked about what's going on in the world of coronavirus. Oh, okay. Well, how about this? So, marketing. Mm-hmm. What type of marketing do you do? I mean, do you do email marketing, or do you go visit a bar that you want to work with and leave, you know, some kind of marketing material behind? Do you reach out to them? I mean, how do you pick up your gigs?
Yeah, so a lot of times I do in person. And so I will go and build relationships with them. And then sometimes it starts off with just like when I'm shooting for 4 or 5 magazine, I'll just like leave my business card behind, which is a coaster. So, you know, being on the end.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh, I totally need to get some of your business. Your coaster. Okay. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome. Wow.
That is absolutely perfect.
It's I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. So I think like, I tried to, when I was doing marketing for my business, I tried to think of things that were, hey, what would promote my brand? What would be something that somebody would get and say, oh, wow, that's really funny. Or that's like, you know, outside of the box that would kind of make them pause and like hold on to that. I didn't want to just give them a business card because most people, they throw away those business cards, you know, like, can't tell you how many business cards I've been handed. And then I like, will look at them and be like, who is this person again? And then I throw it away. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to do something that was different. So I came up with coasters because I'm doing beverage photography. So if you are a photographer, really look at like what your niche is and just like, think of like something that you can leave behind that is a little bit more different than business card. And obviously have the business cards on hand because I do have like those standard business cards, but I hand out those like on a very rare occasion where like maybe it's a more professional person. So maybe it's like, I don't know, a corporate thing.
Well, they drink too. I'd definitely give out the coasters.
I know. I will sometimes like hold them both up and say, which one do you want?
Well, I met somebody that does matches. She has a book of matches for her business.
Yeah. Card. Yeah. I think that's so smart. Like doing things like that makes you stand out. Mm-hmm. And so have both, because sometimes you will need, there have been people who have been like super professional. And so I haven't really felt like I could give them the coaster and like it'd be appropriate. So I give them my business card and then I say, you know, you can also follow me on Instagram. By the way, I curse on my Instagram.
Which one do you want, bitch?
No. But yeah, so as far as marketing, I do that. And then the way that I announced myself to the world is that I did Negroni Week. Which is, has been postponed this year. So it's usually, like the first or second week of June. Do you guys know what a Negroni is?
Yes.
Okay. Jim, do you?
I do not. Sorry. I'm looking at the chat.
A Negroni.
Okay. So for those who don't know, a Negroni is a gin-based drink that uses Campari. And so Negroni Week, what it is it's a way for people to raise money for charity. So it's like a big charity event that happens in bars all across the world during the same week. And so bars sign up, they donate. And then in Oklahoma City specifically, at the end of the week on the Sunday after, they will host like a Negroni Week competition. And so all the local bartenders will get together and they'll come up with their own variations of a Negroni. And then they could win that competition. So last year, what I did is I went to every single bar that has signed up for Negroni Week and I tasted their cocktail and I took a picture and I posted it on my Instagram. And that was really kind of like my way of saying, hey, I'm now available for business. Please hire me to do your professional photography. Let's drink. I will take your picture. Here's all these examples. So it's a really great way for me to like spread the word about Negroni Week, which is a really great way for you to like donate to charity and also inebriate yourself. At the same time, also do like marketing for myself.
Oh my God. She's a keeper, Jim. Just saying.
I was so drunk after that. I did not do anything for 2 weeks afterwards. I'm just saying. I drink, I think, over 35 Negronis. And
oh my God!
Whoa!
It was now, did you take your husband along with you at least to drive so you could be safe?
Yes.
Okay. Where is he? Is he there at the house? Bring him in. Let's see what this good man looks like.
I don't know, Chris. Do you want to come?
Come on, Chris. Don't be shy.
They want you to come on.
Come on, come on. Let's see this guy. Let's see this guy.
Oh gosh.
Oh, don't spill the beer.
I'm not.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Of course, of course.
Of course,
he had to have a good looking hair and nice beard.
It's awkward to like stand here.
Okay. Just sit in her lap. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's good. Fine. Oh, hang on. What's he drinking? Champagne?
I'm drinking, what is it?
A Vesper. This is the cocktail that I made on my Instagram today. So he's drinking a Vesper.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. Ching, ching. Oh, hang on. Oh, there we go.
So, Chris, were you watching on Facebook Live?
Say what?
Were you watching the live feed?
I was for a little bit, but okay. I can hear everything before it comes to the live feed.
Oh, so. True. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to hear about how this started on this Instagram DM love affair.
Oh, I missed that. Is that something you've already explained? Or?
Oh, yeah. She's already explained it.
We want to hear your side.
We want to hear your side. Who asked who first? Who was the first DM?
She slid into my DMs.
I slid into the DMs.
The very first day that was even possible, I didn't even know they'd introduced the feature. And also, I was like, what is this notification? So God.
It was your future wife.
So, oh my God. That's adorable.
Explain the slide in. What's that? Like just push your way into their DM?
No, it was the first day, Jim. The first day they had direct message in Instagram.
Well,
he hit him up.
Yeah, so slide into the DMs is like a kind of like a slang thing.
Oh.
It's more, I mean, I think now it's more of kind of supposed to be like a guy just going around to different girls trying to slide into the DMs.
Okay.
You don't know the person, like you haven't met them in person. It's not somebody that you like actually know. They most of the time So, like, you're just, like, the slide into the DMs is kind of like, hey, I'm trying to, like, pique your interest. And are you also interested?
See if you're also interested.
Yeah, it's kind of like a wink, you know.
So she was real OG about it.
I was.
No, all the young kids are doing it.
Yeah.
Young kids, you guys are the young kids. We're the old guys.
Yeah, we're the old twin guys.
I think I was the first slide into the DMs. I think I'm going to claim that for myself. I am the first.
I think you need to go ahead and write Instagram. Go ahead and claim that right away. Like right away. Because I slide into DM a lot. That I contact lots of clients online. Just like, hey.
Okay, so it's not the same thing. Like, it's a romantic interest. So you sliding into the DMs is like a romantic insinuation.
Okay. All right, so the old man now realizes that I'm wrong. Sliding in is a romantic term.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, I have not been sliding into anything. Lately.
I haven't been sliding into anything for 5 years.
Oh, my God, Jim. Oh, my God. See how quickly alcohol gets things out of control? Don't we just love it?
I'm drinking water, man.
Well, if you haven't slid in for 5 years, you better be drinking some alcohol.
No kidding.
Oh, God. This is going to go Facebook history, I'm telling you right now. We're losing by the cat.
Sorry if being inappropriate.
Oh, that's how we roll here, man.
Lots of laughter, little emoji cons going on. All right, we're still here at 56 minutes. We'll go ahead and wrap this thing up. So, Chris, it was very nice meeting you. Hopefully we get to see you guys again. We did pass an idea to her about doing a 5-day food and beverage challenge.
Yeah, I love it.
And if you put that on your Instagram, Facebook, whatever, we'll be sure to share it out. And we're going to put all your information in the show notes of the podcast. I'll rip the audio from this and put it on the Photo Facts podcast, and that'll be available tonight on iTunes. So thank you so much for being with us, Miranda. You were a heck of a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to see you in some other forums, or if we ever get out of this coronavirus thing, you know, give you a hug at PhotoCon. You know, which comes to mind, PhotoCon's going to be in June, and I cannot wait to see you there. Hopefully you're going to be there. Maybe we'll get you back on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm planning on being there. I had already bought my ticket, so I was a little bit bummed that I had to get postponed.
Yes.
You and I talked about it. That was like when I was planning on switching out all my Canon gear to Fujifilm. So I just went ahead and did it. And thank goodness I did it before Bedford had to close.
Yeah,
so.
Really.
Oh, I know. I know. That is pretty crazy. All right, Jim, you got anything else for us?
I'm going to close this out with some things and that's it. Hey, it's been great, Miranda. Look forward to meeting you in person for sure. So, thanks a lot.
Thank you guys so much.
Appreciate it. You guys take care. Thanks for all the listeners out there, and take us out, Jim.
This podcast is sponsored by Rode Microphones, the Australian pro audio powerhouse making incredible gear for podcasters, vloggers, filmmakers, musicians, and audio engineers.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Jim at jimfelder.com and Robert at treywickimages.com. Send us an email at twins@photofaxpodcast.com or voicemail at 405-585-6337.
Check out our YouTube Photo Facts channel for weekly tips and tricks. Visit our Facebook page for news and discussion. Please help others find this podcast by reviewing us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support.